You want to open in your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 10. We're going to read quite a few verses there in just a moment. John chapter 10. As you're turning there, I'd like to just say welcome to everyone here this morning and big welcome to all of our guests as well. It's good to be back with you. I was gone last week in Indiana and preached a VBS series there, and it went really, really well. Miss Retha was also up there, and she told me that she came back. She was up there to make sure I came back, and so y'all were keeping your eyes on me, and that's good. And the preacher up there told me, you know, there's two really good days to a gospel meeting. The first, because you're excited, you know, you've been looking forward to it, you've worked very hard on your material, and so you're just excited to finally be there and get to see the people. But the best day is the last day, and that's because you're tired at the end of the week, and you're ready to come home, and I'm glad to be home. And so glad to be back with this congregation. You know, this was my last of about four or five different places where I've preached this summer. And you know, there's a line from an old movie, there's no place like home. And I can say very happily that there is no place like Marion Street. And if you look at the front bulletin article today, I've written some things that I have found at some different congregations, not just here, but also, you know, in my couple years of preaching, that kind of make a healthy church. And I just want to commend the members here and the things we're doing here, because as a preacher, you are able to see things that maybe not everyone is able to see. We are very blessed at this congregation. And so I'm glad, very glad to be back home, be back here with you. And I'm thankful for Mr. Steve for stepping in for me last week. And I'm sure he did just such a great job. And thank you for doing that. And thank you all again for being here this morning. There's a story of Franklin Roosevelt, who often had to endure long receiving lines as they threw a banquet or some sort of event at the White House. And what would happen is if they were throwing an event, him and his wife would stand in this line among other prominent guests or people that were also throwing this banquet. And as guests would arrive, they would shake the hand. It's called a receiving line. They would just shake everyone's hand as they went down the line. Well, FDR kind of started to realize something, that everyone who would go down the line and shake his hand, he started to think maybe they're not paying attention to what he was really saying. And so one day at a reception, as he stood there in line shaking people's hands, he decided to try an experiment. And everyone that walked down and shook his hand that day, he murmured to them, "I murdered my grandmother this morning." Now, the guests responded with phrases like, "Marvelous," and "Keep up the good work," "We're so proud of you," and my favorite, "God bless you, sir." And it was not until the end of the line, while greeting the ambassador from Bolivia, that the words were actually heard. And unfazed by what FDR had just said, the ambassador leaned over and whispered, "I'm sure she had it coming." You know, this illustrates a problem that I'm sure many of us have felt at some point, and that's the idea of, is anybody listening to me? Parents, you probably feel like that with kids. You know, my parents used to say, "Is this going in one ear and out the other?" But is anyone listening to me? You know, this is the conclusion of a series I've been preaching the last few weeks. I skipped last week, obviously, since I wasn't here. But the idea of having a heart like Jesus. And first we looked at having a good and honest heart. And then we looked at having a focused heart, being focused on heaven. And this morning we're going to focus on what Jesus is saying to us. And are we really listening to Jesus? And are we focusing on Him and listening to Jesus properly? You know, parents expect their kids to listen to them. Teachers expect students to listen to them. Spouses, we expect our spouse to listen to us when we're talking to them. Kids, are we listening to our parents when they are trying to tell us something or instruct us? Parents, are we listening to kids when they're trying to cry out for help? Elders, are we listening to our congregation when they're asking for guidance and for help? And congregation, are we listening to our elders? There's so many different ways that we listen. But the question I want to ask today is, are we not just hearing what is being said, but actually taking it to heart and listening? Because there's a huge, huge difference. If I have a Dodger game on and Brooke is trying to talk to me, it's very hard for me to listen to Brooke. I can hear her. It's hard for me to listen. and kids and parents are talking to us, well, we hear what they're saying, but are we taking it to heart? Are we listening to the instructions? In a study done with teenage prostitutes, they were asked if there was anything that could have been done to change their decision to become a prostitute. And the overwhelming answer was they wish they had someone in their life that would just listen to them. That would just listen to their problems, listen to what they were going through. And when they couldn't find it at home or they couldn't find it at church or whatever it was, they decided to go find it with someone else. Are we truly listening to what Jesus is trying to tell us? Do we have a heart that is ready and willing to listen to what Jesus has said? Now first, and if we're going to listen to something, something first has to be said. We can't hear something that has not been said. You know, I want us to just take a moment and realize the power of what we have in our hands. You might have an electronic version. You might have the Bible. To me, you know, I have nothing against the electronic versions. I've tried electronic versions, but I always go back to the real thing. There's just nothing like the Bible in your hands. But if we realize exactly what this is, we call it God's Word. I mean, this is God speaking directly to us. This is God talking to us. This is God sending His Son. Now, we can't speak to His Son like maybe the apostles did, the early Christians did, but we could speak to God through His Word. And He has given us everything He wants us to listen to and to pay attention to. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, He has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. We know that all Scripture is God-breathed. It's inspired by the Holy Spirit. And I think oftentimes He's trying to speak to us, trying to tell us something, but we're just not focused on what He is trying to really tell us through His Scriptures. And this has always been the case with His people. Think about Adam and Eve. He told them not to eat of a certain tree. They heard Him. They agreed to it. They didn't listen. They decided to do what they wanted to do anyways. Think about the Israelites when they were being led out of Egypt. You talk about seeing the power of God. They witnessed some great and awesome miracles. They witnessed plagues. They witnessed God by day in a pillar of cloud and by night as a pillar of fire. They witnessed some things that we would never even imagine, like walls of water standing up on either side so they can walk through. They heard God. They knew God's commands, and they knew what God was capable of, but they didn't always listen to Him. They didn't always obey His commands. And so God sent judges, and they didn't listen to the judges. So God sent kings, and the kings didn't listen to God. So God sent prophets to try to get them back. They didn't listen to the prophets. So finally, God had to send His Son, Jesus, hoping that we would listen to His only Son. And this is where we find our society now. We have the words of Jesus, and they're in red, so they're easy to see, right, in most Bibles. We have the words of Jesus. Are we listening to Him? He has given us His guidance, His advice, and His commands. And now we have the choice on whether or not we're going to hear what He has to say. If we're going to take it to heart. If we're going to listen to it. Now, I'm a firm believer. You know, there's been a lot of talk throughout the last couple of weeks, the last several months, and really the last several years of where this society is headed morally and things of that nature. And I'm a firm believer that the problems that we have in our society and in our world is because people are not listening to what God has told us to do. They can hear it. In fact, many people that aren't listening to God have heard the Word of God. There are many non-believers that know the Bible, know God's Word better than believers. There are many atheists that know God's Word better than many Christians. And so they can't say they haven't heard God's Word because people have heard it. They just choose not to listen. And that's where we find ourselves. Are we taking what God has said to us, and are we taking it to heart? And I can only imagine God sitting up there, looking down here at our society, maybe even looking down here at our churches and asking, are you even listening to me? I have given you my Son. I have given you my Word. Are you going to listen to it? Look what Jesus had to say about this in John chapter 10. If you turn there, John chapter 10, let's start reading in verse 1. He says there, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Jesus is illustrating something here that it should be very special to us, and that we should take to heart, and we should understand just how special this really is. He is illustrating here a personal relationship that we have with him, the shepherd and his sheep. And we know that this is Jesus showing us that he is our shepherd. But notice what he says about his sheep. Many times we put the emphasis on Jesus as our shepherd and what he does for us. But look at the responsibility. Look at the things he says about the sheep. That is you and I in these few verses. The first thing he says is the sheep will hear the shepherd's voice. Which means they're listening for the shepherd. And Jesus says when the shepherd come, there's going to be other people that come, thieves and robbers. They're going to come. They're going to try to climb over the gate instead of coming in by the door. We'll get back to that verse in just a moment. But he says when the shepherd comes and the shepherd speaks to his sheep, they're going to hear his voice. And they're not just going to hear the voice. They're going to know his voice. That skipped forward quite a bit there. They're going to not only hear his voice, they're going to know his voice. Can you imagine having that kind of relationship with Jesus? And we do that all the time, don't we? There are certain people that when we call them on the phone, we know who it is without them having to say their name. Nowadays, we have caller ID and we have cell phones that tell us who's calling. But there are just people that you know their voice over the phone. My older brother, he used to love, and I never got it. When I would call home from college and I would call our house phone, this was before kind of caller ID was you know, pretty normal and typical. If he knew it was me or if I would say hello first or something like that, he would always try to pretend to be mom, you know, and he just thought it was so funny that he wanted to see how long he can get me to talk to him as mom. But I always knew right away. It only took about 3 or 4 times, you know, before I was, David, I know it's you, right? I know mom's voice. I know your voice. Because there's people that we have special relationships with that we know their voice. We understand who they are. And Jesus says that's the kind of relationship that his sheep should have with him. That he not only knows us. It says in verse 3 that he knows each of his sheep by name. He can call us by name. But are we close enough with Jesus to where we can not only hear his voice, but we know his voice when he's calling? That means, if we bring it into today's world, we know his word. That when something is said or something is done in this society, I can go back to God's word and I can show us what Jesus says or why do I do what I do? Because Jesus told me to do it. Or why do I go here? Because Jesus doesn't want me to go there because he's my shepherd and I know his voice and I know what he is asking me to do. Because that leads us to the next thing he says. They're not only hear his voice, know his voice, but we're going to follow his voice because he is the true shepherd. Because it's the voice we know, so we choose to follow his voice. There is familiarity, there is comfort in the voice of Jesus. Now listen, these few things here, they're pretty self-explanatory. And most Christians would not argue with the fact that Jesus is our shepherd. We should understand who he is, understand his word, and follow his voice. Most of us would not argue with these 3 points. And we would agree that these 3 points point us... we would agree with these 3 points so much that we fault anyone who does not hear the voice of Jesus and follow it. That if they don't listen to Jesus, well, they're not like us. But I want to notice one thing. It's the sheep that have the choice whether or not they want to listen to the shepherd. You and I have made a choice to be here this morning. You and I have made a choice on whether or not we will listen to the shepherd. Now, I want to notice something about this choice. You and I, as the sheep in Jesus' flock, have the choice to not only hear our shepherd's voice, but decide to listen to it or not. We have the responsibility to listen when our shepherd is saying something. And now you might think that's strange, but let me show you something. And this is something we brought up, if you were in the downstairs muscle and a shovel class, we brought this up many times, but I know not everyone was down there, so I want to just illustrate this. The difference in hearing and listening to our true shepherd's voice. In Acts chapter 2, there was one church, and they were meeting with one accord, and they had one faith and one Lord, and they were all on the same page, but something has happened to where now here where we are. In the year 1900 AD, there are 1,600 kinds of denominations of Christianity. That's not different religions. That's not different belief systems. That's not different world theologies. That is Christianity. People who follow God's word, who believe in Christ as their shepherd, there are 1,600 different types. In the year 2000, it jumps from 1,600 to 34,000 different types of Christianity. And in the latest update that was given by the Center for the Study of Global Christianity, it was estimated in 2012 there are 43,000 different types of Christianity. So here's my question. If we all know that Jesus is our shepherd, and we all want to follow Jesus, and we all want to follow His Word, the Bible, and we know it's God-breathed, we know that God has given us everything, we know that this is inspired by the Holy Spirit, how come there are 43,000 different types of the same thing? See, and that's where our society is hearing God's Word, but they might just not be listening to it. I mean, these are people that have the same book we have, and the same book we're reading from at this very moment. These are people who have heard God's word, and they probably hear it preached every single Sunday, just like us. And these are people who probably read their Bible every day, and have probably read these verses in John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5, and they say that they have heard the voice of their shepherd, and they're following His call. But if we're really being honest with ourselves, there is only one Lord and one church. That means that somewhere there's 42,999 different denominations that are hearing the Lord's voice, but just not listening to it. And where did we go wrong? And that's why we see things like bands and stages and video games and basketball courts and skate parks and snack bars and comedy hour and infant baptisms and sprinkling baptisms and no baptism and no Lord's Supper every week and rock concerts and kiddie church and donkey rides and movie theaters and tons of other things can be found because people are choosing just not to listen to what God's Word has to say. They hear it, they read it, but they're not listening to it. And before we say, and this is where I want us to be careful, before we say that the Church of Christ is God's gift to the denominations to show them the right way, we need to understand that we're not the shepherd. Our job as Christians is just be a member of the Lord's church. To follow the shepherd. To follow His words. And make sure we are doing everything in our power to not stray from our shepherd's guidance. And we need to take a long, hard look at ourselves and make sure we are being part of the church we read about in the New Testament. And let me show you what that looks like according to what Jesus says here. That when we truly listen to our shepherd, the first thing we're going to do is show our love to Him. And really what that just goes to say is we're going to show our obedience to Him. Listen to what Jesus says just a few chapters later in John 14 and verse 15. If you love Me, keep My commandments. You know, oftentimes the simplest commandments are the hardest to follow. How easy is that? If you love Me, keep My commandments. Now, that's all we have to do. What's Jesus saying there? I've told you what I expect of you. I've given you My commandments. In fact, Matthew 28, when we talk about the Great Commission, He says not only baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but teach them to keep the commandments that I have given you. We have a responsibility to our shepherd to show that we love Him, to keep His commandments, to show obedience to Him. In John chapter 15 and verse 14, just flip those around. He says, "You are My friends if you do whatever I command you." Isn't that amazing? That Jesus would consider us a friend. The next verse after that in verse 15, John 15, 15, He says, "I no longer call you servants, I'm calling you friends." That we can be friends with Jesus if we just simply do what He asks us to do. If we just listen to His voice. We sing the song all the time, we have a friend in Jesus. You know, this idea, if you love Me, keep My commandments. I'll never forget my mom saying something. My parents raised three boys. Kind of rambunctious in the house. And now that I have my own house and I have my own son, I kind of why did my parents let us get away with half the stuff they let us get away with, or do half the stuff we did, because we were kind of rough. And there was one day my brother and I wanted to make up our own game of indoor soccer. And so we had a hallway, a nice long hallway with doors that we could shut, and we can kind of just make it a big long tunnel. And it was kind of like indoor soccer. We can bounce the ball off the walls. Well, then we went and got some pillows, and we put them on our legs like we were hockey goalies. And we stood in the hallway, and my goal was behind my brother. I just had to hit the wall behind my brother, and he had to hit the wall behind me. And we just would play, and you know, we would keep score. And I was the one that played soccer. My brother only played 1 year. I played 9 or 10 years. And so I felt like I had the upper hand. And anytime I had the chance to beat my older brother, I was going to take it. And so I was trying to go all out. Now, in our hallway, there was two lights that had covers over the light bulbs. And I see some of you moms already kind of knowing where this is going. I took a kick straight up. It was like a magnet towards the light bulb. And boy, that cover fell off that light and just shattered all over the place. And I'll never forget my mom, after she got on to us, and I'm sure we were grounded, she said something like, "Are you guys trying to kill me?" I can't remember if it was my older brother or myself that said, "Well, you weren't under the light, so no," you know. Probably got in trouble for that too. But she said something. She says, "If you love me, you will let me live to see my grandkids." I never got it, but I kind of get it now. Isn't that kind of what Jesus is saying here? If you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. If you love me, you're going to do what I say. If you love me, you're going to follow the rules. If you love me, you're going to be obedient to me. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. The shepherd has spoken, and if we are truly his sheep, we will follow his words and listen to his voice and no one else's. But he also says that if we're going to listen to our shepherd, we're going to take a stand for truth. And that means we're going to take a stand against error and sin, and we're going to take a stand against all of it, not just some of it. We can't pick and choose what we want to follow. Listen to again what he says in John 10, verse 1. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." And in verse 5, "Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voices of strangers." Now, I think this point is interesting, because Jesus is making something very clear about his sheep, that there will be people, there will be robbers and thieves trying to come and steal sheep away. And it doesn't take long to read in the New Testament that that's what started to happen in the New Testament churches. False teachers, false prophets, people started to come and arise that pulled people away from Jesus. But the same thing has happened throughout history. That we have God's word, we have Jesus' words and what he expects out of his people and out of his church, but strangers have come and taken the sheep away from Jesus' church, and they've been doing it for years. And it's no wonder that we have people say, "I'm a Christian, but I'm a Baptist. I'm a Christian, but I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Christian, but I'm a Catholic. I'm a Christian, but I..." And then fill in the blank. Because that's exactly what has happened. That people have come up some other way, adding and taking away from what the Lord has told us, trying to be shepherds when they're supposed to be sheep. Now, I don't read that in the Bible. I read about Christ, our shepherd, and I follow the truth that Christ has taught and no other man. Turn with me to the book of Galatians chapter 1. The book of Galatians in chapter 1, look at what Paul had to say to the church at Galatia there. In Galatians 1, starting in verse 6, he says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I still please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." Here's my question, and maybe we need to ask ourselves this sometimes too. How come more people can't take what God is trying to tell us here and see that there have been thousands of years of men and women trying to pull people away from the gospel that was given to the apostles by our true shepherd, Jesus Christ? And how come more people are pulled away? It's because, and Paul says it very plainly here, they're trying to please themselves, they're trying to please men. He says in verse 10, I'm not trying to please men anymore. If I was trying to be men, or if I was trying to please men or please people, I wouldn't be a bondservant of Christ. And so he says, instead, I call myself a bondservant of Christ. I am here to please God. I'm here to follow the gospel that God has given us. I'm here to follow my shepherd, if I can put those words into it. Are we doing the same thing? Are we following some man and some man's teaching? You know, the biggest thing that I think we need to watch out for today is making sure we are following the gospel. Not following the preacher. Not following my teaching on something or so-and-so's teaching on something, but just simply following the gospel. Because it's the shepherd's gospel. And it's not mine. We have the responsibility to take a firm stand for truth. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul would say, hold fast to the things that I have given you. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9, it says, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. That is, follow the example that Paul received from Christ, from the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach to others also. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I have the responsibility to take a firm stand for truth, because truth is the shepherd's words. And if we love our shepherd, we will keep his commandments. Now, as we close this morning, I want to leave you with two other things Jesus says. And that's, when we listen to the shepherd, Jesus will do two things for us. Jesus says that he will protect us. Listen to what he says in John chapter 10, if you turn back there with me. If you still have your finger there, or your marker there, John chapter 10. After he realized some of these people didn't quite understand what he was saying, in verse 6, as he said, he used this illustration, but no one understood the things of which he spoke to them. In verse 7, look at what he says. Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Isn't that amazing? Jesus says, I'm the door. I'm not only the shepherd, I am the door. That when my sheep follow me, when they're in my flock, they're in my pasture, I'm going to give them salvation. I'm going to give them protection. Now, that might not be physical protection. We might still, you know, have difficulties, physical difficulties in this life. But Jesus says, you follow my word, you follow my voice, I'll protect you spiritually. And I'll be right there every step of the way as your shepherd. And he goes one step further. He's going to give salvation and he's going to give us life. In verse 10, it says that the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life. They may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives life for the sheep. I think it's very interesting, as he says here, the thieves and the robbers, they come to kill. They come to steal, to destroy. And that's exactly what's going to happen spiritually to us if we follow anything else but the gospel of our true shepherd. That if we follow anything else but Jesus Christ, spiritually we are being killed and destroyed, just as he says here. But those who follow Jesus, the true shepherd, the good shepherd, he's going to give life. And he's going to give it abundantly. And so when we follow and we listen to the shepherd, he's going to protect us and he's going to give us life. Now I want to end with Psalm 23. And this is a psalm that many of you might know by heart. And this is a psalm that me personally, when I listen to it, I sometimes don't really grasp the full meaning. But listen to what David says here. He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Our shepherd has spoken to us. And David says there, because the Lord is our shepherd. This might be hard for some of us to understand, but because the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want. That the Lord is guiding us, and He knows exactly what we need in this life. He's going to take us to the still waters. He's going to take us to the green pastures. He's going to give us what we need. Might not be what we want, but it will be what we need. He's going to protect us when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We won't have to fear any evil because David says, You are with me. Your staff and Your rod comfort me. He says, My cup runs over. And so surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We have an amazing shepherd. We have a shepherd that wants what's best for us. You know, FDR didn't really murder his grandmother. He didn't really do that, and he just wanted to see if people were listening. I wonder if God is up there just saying, are you listening to me? There's a problem in your life. Are you listening to God? There's a problem at church. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to God? There's a problem with a family member, a problem with a friend. If you're just going through a hard time, if you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, if you feel like your enemies are surrounding you, maybe that's God just saying, are you listening to me? Because I'm right here for you, guiding you every step of the way. If you need to listen to God today, you need to obey the gospel call, that is give yourself, give your lives to Him through the waters of baptism. Do that now. Don't wait a moment longer. Become part of the flock of God. Let Him shepherd you through life. Let Him comfort you. Let Him guide you. I swear you won't forget it. If there's anything we can do for you this morning, come forward as we stand and as we sing.